Hello, and welcome to the series Kai Women Around the World, a show where we interview our Kai community to see how they organize their lives. Our Kai microphone traveled all over the world to get all the ins and outs about their daily routines. Are you traveling with us?
Hello everyone, and welcome to our second episode in our series Kai Women Around the World, where for this episode our Kai mic traveled to Kuwait.
And we send it there because we are welcoming Rasha Ezzeddine for the second episode. Rasha is Director Marketing Communications and Director of Branding and Events for the telecommunication company STC. She worked there for 5 years and she travels back and forth from Dubai to Kuwait.
We are super excited to have her here on this episode and we can't wait for her insights.
Welcome Rasha.
Hi everyone, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm excited to be here today.
Super nice that we can connect to the other side of the world.
Yeah, it's very hot over here. So 50
yeah, degrees. How warm is it there? How many degrees?
It keeps floating between 48 and 50, so it's quite hot.
Super hot. We have like this one day today that it's 35 degrees and everyone is dying. But it's very exceptional in Belgium.
Yeah, and at least here we have AC everywhere, so I guess that makes a difference.
That's true, we don't have.
But yeah.
As near.
Well, yeah. As near.
Okay, we tried to introduce you, Rasha. We made this little intro, but we're very interested to hear from you, who you are and what you do.
Well, that was a great introduction. So yes, I'm Rasha. I'm actually Belgian. I consider myself a global citizen because I've been all over the world, haven't stayed anywhere once. But my roots go back to Lebanon. I love music. I love books, organizing things. And I'm obsessed with bags, especially big bags. So my husband hates it. But, you know, hey, they're fabulous. So, so that's where I am today. Like you said, I'm working for a telco here in Kuwait, one of the big ones. So it's a very dynamic, demanding job, long hours. So it means, I need to have everything with me at all times.
Okay, perfect. So this podcast is about how Kai women around the world organize their lives. So you told us that you love organizing and stuff. So that's a match over there. So we really want to discover what it is that we can learn from each other and or just get inspired, obviously. So what does a day in life look like in yours, Rasha?
Okay, well, it's definitely all over the place. So the best part is the morning because that's always a bit calm. So I wake up, have my coffee, do a bit of yoga, and then put my face on and get ready to go to work. That's where everything goes a bit chaotic and all over the place. So like you said, I'm a director in two departments, reporting into two different GMs. So it means I have to balance my life between those two GMs all the time. And also means because I work long hours, I usually have to have everything with me from my laptop to personal stuff so I can switch over easily all the time when I need to. It's a very dynamic world, the industry I'm in. So I need to be on pace with it all at all times.
Okay. And is it very typical for people in Kuwait to get up, have coffee, do a little sport, like you do yoga, and then go to work? Or is it something that you do?
It's getting more now than it was before, for sure. And definitely there's people that are a lot better than me. But there's also a lot of people that it's wake up and it's all about the breakfast. Food is a huge thing in Kuwait. So even at work, you'll find when you get there, people are ordering in for breakfast. So, you know, they need the big thing is going to get a coffee at Starbucks or like any of the local coffee houses. So I think that's more of the bigger thing. Go grab the coffee, load until they get to work.
So food is something that's in everyone's daily routine and like really enjoy the food and take time to have the food?
Yes, absolutely. It's really a huge part of the culture here. So And it's very delicious food, actually. It's from the best that I've had in the world, I have to admit.
Okay.
Oh, you're making us jealous.
We have to go to Kuwait.
I think you guys should come. You should try. Everything tastes so much better here. I don't know why, but it does.
Probably the heat has something to do with it, I'm guessing.
Yeah, cooks it better.
You said that everyone is ordering in when they arrive at their company. What is like a typical breakfast?
Oh, wow. What isn't that? Every day is different, really. One day you have your American style with your pancakes and your egg muffins. Another day you have your Arabic style with, again, different types of eggs, mixed Indian and breads and fool. It's like fava beans, falafel, things like that. And then another day, it's very healthy, your avocado and kale and poached eggs. So really every day is different. There's nothing consistent. So, and there's always new places popping up. So it's very entrepreneurial here. So there's always new places coming up.
Ooh, sounds cool to order breakfast. I don't think that's like a routine or something that a lot of people do here in Belgium, right?
No.
Ordering breakfast at work, that's not really something in our culture here in Belgium. So it's funny to get to hear those things as well and to learn about those things.
Yeah, it was one of my first culture shocks. I was like, what? People order to the office? What is this? But I settled into that one very fast.
Immediately.
I like this. This works.
Are there, except for the big breakfast and the time you take to enjoy your food, are there any other typical cultural things that are different? You're Belgian, but you're also Lebanese. What is different in Kuwait?
There is a lot. It's a country that manages, the people work hard and play hard, and they have a great balance of they work to live. So one of the things from Europe, we live to work. So we're literally making ends meet with bills and all of that. And I mean, obviously that's there here, but they've managed to find this really good way to do work-life balance somehow, where they're putting in their all and they're achieving so much, but they're also going out there and living life, traveling. You know, they're so fashionable. The things they do here, it's stuff you would see on a runway. They're so daring. So there's a lot of very inspirational things. I mean, coming here, I've been inspired to wear and do things that maybe I didn't do before. And at the same time, they've maintained very traditional and cultural habits, which is for me very important if you're in a new country. So so you have a good balance of tradition, modernity, entrepreneurialism. It's a very, very dynamic and interesting market for me to learn a lot from.
Okay, so we can definitely learn something from everyone balancing their life in Kuwait.
Yes. Yeah, so we are wondering because in Belgium, or for us at least, mm-hmm. I will speak just for ourselves, we struggle with finding balance between family, friends and social life, me time, work. You just said that they balance it really well over there in Kuwait. What is the secret? How do they approach it, or how do they hack their lives in order to maintain that balance?
It's very simple, and it's something, honestly, that really touched me when I came here. It's family comes first. The family values are very strong here. So you'll find empathy more than we find in Europe, if you like. I'm not saying we're not empathetic in Europe. Of course we are. But anything that comes to family, it will always be prioritized and understood. So that doesn't mean sacrifice with work. No, of course not. But in that sense, they have that priority list of family first and everything else after. But at the same time, again, it's an ambitious country. It's growing. They have the 2035 vision, so they're working towards a lot, but that I think the secret that Kuwait has is the family values.
Okay, and is it then you find it more easier to prioritize your family because you're in a company who understands that family comes first?
Definitely, if I need to, yes, it is easy for sure. I mean, obviously, me being here on my own, sorry, I forgot to mention because my husband is based in Dubai, so that's why I'm always between Kuwait and Dubai. So definitely when things happen, like last month, I had an emergency with my husband. They're very helpful for me to drop everything and go and work remotely and come back and things like that. So it definitely helps me with my life balancing things. But because I'm here on my own, so I don't have as many issues. But yeah, because the rest of the family's in Belgium. So.
Oh, okay.
It's very international then.
Yeah.
So you said you learned a lot from the places where you lived, where you live now. You also go back and forth to Dubai. Is there a difference between those two countries?
Oh, vastly. Because Kuwait, like I said, it's very traditional. Family comes first. It's in that phase where it's shifting from, like, I don't want to say town. That's not very the right thing. But it's shifting into that city vibe. Dubai is cosmopolitan. So here, like, for instance, people will be more traditional, modern, modest, sorry, and conservative. Dubai, it's a whole different planet of cosmopolitan and trends. And, you know, it's a lot more risque, a lot more, it's very luxurious. I mean, you have luxury here for sure, but it's not the same as Dubai. Dubai, it feels like the red carpet all over the place. So definitely a big difference there. I feel here has more of a home closeness to it. Over there, it's more of a city, but with that luxury vibe. So it's a very different experiences, really. But it's there a more relaxed, I would say. People are more, in Dubai, they're more chilled, if you like. Whereas here, because it's such a small country, so everybody knows everyone. So they're always three steps ahead and thinking in case they bump into someone, all of that. Whereas Dubai, it's so much bigger. You're not really likely to bump into people as much as here.
Okay.
So it's more relaxed because it's more humid as well. So
is Kuwait then a bit more like Belgium? Well, it's a cliche, but I think it's quite true that we're quite modest as well. So is it in that sense the same thing?
Maybe here a bit more, but yes, for sure. It does have that modesty, which is why actually Belgian fashion works here a lot. So when I go to Belgium and come back with stuff, they really love it here. So natural. But saying that, yes, it's modest, but they're actually still very daring. Like, you have seasons like Ramadan, people will wear really very outgoing outfits. It's so creative. It's so daring, but it's so beautiful as well. So they do, it's still modest, but they really take modesty to a funky, out there urban level, but still somehow traditional. So it's interesting how they've found ways to make things work within the culture without disrespecting the culture and traditions and the older generation.
Okay.
Are there maybe any ideas, tools, or applications that you use to organize your life? You told us earlier that you use your friends to organize your life. Are there any other tools or things that you use to organize your life?
Absolutely. I mean, the smartphone, obviously, it's changed our lives a lot. Definitely, I use the calendar on my phone like crazy. But also, again, because there's a lot of projects going on as well. And I also do a side gig with Geek CMO. So I use Monday.com. It's like it's an online tool to organize yourself. So I use that for my projects and my work. And for myself as well, personally, there is an app called To-Do List, part of Microsoft, because I'm more Android than Microsoft, not an iPhone. So I use To-Do List a lot as well, just to remind myself on things. And I don't know, as I'm getting older, and I'm not sure if it's because of COVID, because I got COVID last year in May, I'm forgetting a lot more. Apparently, it's a side effect of COVID. So I don't know where it's COVID and where it's relying on technology, but I use it a lot to remember things. So...
Okay. And what do you do when the list gets too long? To-do list.
Prioritize or go hide from it and say everything will sort itself out. Leave it to the universe.
We once received a very good tip. Like, most of the time we make those to-do lists, we make them way too long. And then it's good to sometimes or from time to time to make a to-do list of things you don't have to do.
Yeah, I know, right?
And like, or deprioritize those things. Absolutely. Very good tip.
You said that you rely a lot on your smartphone and some application that you're using, but do you also have external help for your household, maybe a housekeeper, someone who, I don't know, you said you order in sometimes. Is that something you do on a regular basis, or are there external factors that you use to simplify your life?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, thank you for saying that. I forgot. It was one of the things I know, should have said. Actually, yes, getting hired help here is a lot cheaper than it is in Europe. So for sure, I get hired up. Although when I first came, I was in denial. I was going to do everything because that's what I'm used to. But after a while, I was like, why am I doing this to myself? So now I do get hired help once a week, just to do the stuff around the house, you know, that I don't want to do. So I'll do everything else. So for sure I do that. And again, because food here is so accessible, and it's cheap, and you can find all ranges of it. So for sure I order in a lot more than I would in Europe. In Europe, I used to cook and store things in the freezer for the whole week. You know, I had the whole plan. So here I definitely rely a lot more on ordering in, because there's a lot of healthy options as well, and so many different varieties of cuisine as well, and all taste homemade. So it's really amazing. So for sure I abuse that side of the culture here. In Dubai, not as much, because it's a bit more expensive in Dubai. So Dubai is a lot more like Europe in that sense, but yeah. Here I definitely treat myself a lot more.
Nice. You should be a tourist operator for Kuwait. You're convincing us
to go to Kuwait.
To go and live in Kuwait.
I genuinely love Kuwait. No, nobody understands me, but anyone that knows me, they say the same thing. They're like, you need to work for the touristic enterprise.
So you told us earlier how companies and how the work-life balance is really good in Kuwait, because everyone prioritizes the families. Is it something typical that people do, rely on their families to organize their life? Or not?
Maybe on hired help, yes. You know, because definitely the average household here will have at least two maids and a driver, if you like. So definitely it makes organizing things a lot easier. And again, like I said, it's a very entrepreneurial country. So you'll find a lot of women are working or opening businesses from home. So again, they will use their hired help to deliver and do that excellent customer service. So definitely they would use their family's conveniences, if I don't know if I can call them that, to help them arrange and organize their lives or make things easier and facilitate operations, for sure. So, I mean, we have one of my colleagues at work, for instance, has their hired help at home, makes her breakfast and lunch every morning. So it means she doesn't spend money ordering in, but she has these beautiful meals that she brings for us to work as well. So yeah. Definitely they use them. And, you know, so it helps. It helps to have hired help.
It really made me think, actually, of the sentence, it takes a village to raise a child or something. So that's where my question came from, like... Maybe we think if companies prioritize families and stuff, you would think like the whole family comes in to help each other and do things for each other. But then I guess that's not what's going on in Kuwait, because there everyone hires external help to make the family run or the household run.
Yes, but definitely there is the community aspect is huge, because family ties are big. And you'll see here a lot of the families, they live generally in the same building or villa, if you like. So each person has their own floor. So definitely there is that community. So they somehow have their independence, but they still have help if they need it. So definitely that community is there. And I know when I've needed anything, honestly, the way my colleagues and friends were there for me, I never expected friends to be there like that, the way they were. I mean, I have a sad story. Like, for instance, when my mother passed away, after the whole funeral arrangements and all that, and I came back here, so people wanted to come pay their respects. So I remember coming to the house and finding everything already done because my friends here just came. They shifted the house around. They helped bring all the things to serve guests and, you know, coffee, whatever, and do that whole thing. So definitely that community vibe is here. And this is what I love about Kuwait. And, you know, everyone has each other's backs. It's really, really, it has that value that I've cherished so much. And I think that's something we've lost somewhere. We have it more in the smaller towns, I think, in Europe, but we've kind of lost that value somewhere. So I do cherish that here.
I think that's very true. I think
me too.
We're in Belgium, or maybe it's a cliche that I believe of my own country, but we are much more to ourselves and we don't want other people who are not very close to us, maybe doesn't count for our best friends or closest family, but to know if there's any issue of when there's trouble or when we need help, we don't like to ask for it, I think, in Belgium.
Absolutely.
Yeah, privacy is big, I think, privacy. Yeah. And even here, it is big. You'll find also that I don't know how they do it, but their private life is super private. But then somehow that, you know, even the house, you'll find there's a separate area for the family living and then a public living. So that will also be on its own floor. So that's why I'm saying they've managed to balance that life. But it's still social interaction is a very huge part of the community here. Like they have things called diwaniyas, which is kind of like what we're doing here, where everyone sits together and they talk and, you know, and so some are more formal than others. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's also proven that we as a human, we need those interactions with people. Like they did like an experiment with apes where they put a robot with milk for the ape to eat. And the other one was like an ape himself without food. And they always went to the one without food. Like so the interaction with the other ape or the interaction between human is much more important than the food.
In Kuwait, so, it's both, apparently.
Yeah, you guys have it both.
That's that one.
You said that you learned a lot for the culture that you came into in Kuwait. Are there things that you feel like you can bring to the table in your organization or within your group of friends?
Oh, definitely. I bring Europe to the group of table. I'm telling you guys about the other side, but over there, they're all like, Russia, you're so European. I definitely bring that. I'm like, people, you need to organize yourself, block meetings. Because for instance, meetings, oh my God. You know, in Europe, we put the meeting and the calendar, whatever. Here, it's a mission and I have to get someone to block time on your calendar. You know, I never thought I would have to explain that to people. But, you know, they memorize everything. So I can't do that. You know, I want to see my calendar, plan my day, all of that. So definitely I bring the European side. So that's what they complain about.
I totally understand that. We have this too.
One final question before we end this lovely interview.
What is maybe the best advice you can give to busy women around the world when it comes to organizing their life?
Okay, well, aside from good bag and great shoes, have everything in it and you need to be comfortable. Really, I always say put yourself first. If you see when we're in an airplane, they always tell you put the mask on yourself first before helping anyone else. So I always tell my friends that, like, just like that analogy, always put yourself first, because if you don't take care of yourself and help yourself, you're not going to be able to be there for your work, for the people that love you, for all that. So it's a lesson I learned the hard way in life. So definitely that should be there. And girl code, I think we need more women that support each other and with whatever we do, because I think the woman is such an underestimated gender in life. We do so much more than the men. I mean, the men facilitate things, but really, if you see in action, we do more. Less competition, more girl code. So.
Absolutely.
We can't agree more. Thank you so much for taking your time, for talking to us and sharing your experiences and insights. I've learned a few things that I'm going to try to incorporate in my life.
Yeah, it was really super nice to meet you, Rashad. It was a very warm conversation, and I really felt connected, even though you're on the other side of the world. So really thank you for your warm conversation here with us.
Thank you, guys. I'm going off your energy, so that's a testament to you guys.
Thank you so much.
By the way, I told everyone about how organized you guys were. I was super impressed with the whole box and all of that. So amazing. I told my team, I said, look, ideas, and this is international. There's no reason why we can't do this locally. So
perfect. What did you think about the passport?
Huh?
How did you receive the passport? Did you like it?
I love it. It's amazing.
Oh, you filled it in. Oh, it's so cool to see the stamps and the passport as well. Yeah.
I think it's such a cool idea. So really, really, the details are amazing.
So maybe for the people who are listening also, we send every guest that comes onto this podcast or to this show, we send them a box with a passport in it, with a boarding pass in, because our mic is really traveling around the world to meet all these amazing women and to share their stories and to inspire you guys. So that's where the passport story came from.
Yeah, and you'll be able to follow the box with the mic and the passports on social media. So make sure you check it out to see all those amazing women. And thank you so much again, Rasha, for being here and being part of our series.
Thank you for having me. It's truly an honor, and for amazing products. And just, this was such a great opportunity and really amazing. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. See you later. Bye.
Bye.